The scripture says a prudent, which means sensible, person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton, which means foolish, and surprising to me, also means open-minded. Where have we heard that so much in the last decade or two in our culture? You've got to be open-minded. The simpleton, the foolish, the open-minded goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. I want to talk to you from this topic today. Warning. Warning. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would get our attention right now, Lord. Lord, as you speak to this congregation and as you speak to my soul, Father, I'm asking for ears to hear in every person and a mind and a heart to receive your word and obey your word. Father, I believe you're going to speak. It's going to be simple. God, it's going to be on point. But God, we need your touch today because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be so used to ignoring warning signs and signals, God, that it's just another call. God, arrest our attention and open our spirits and our minds right now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Warning. Warning. Life is full of signs and signals. Where to park. Where not to park. When to park. If snow exceeds 3 inches, do not park here. Make room for the snow plow. When to walk. When not to walk. Where to stand. Where not to stand in our day and age. Right? Stand here, 6 feet apart. Life is full of signs and signals. The road is ending. Stop ahead. Dangerous intersection ahead. Steep grade. Runaway truck lane. Now, I don't know about you, but when I went through Pennsylvania, we have hills in Ohio, okay? They're hills. When I got into the Blue Ridge area and I saw these signs that said, this is for a runaway truck lane, I didn't feel too good. I'm not used to that. But their signs are there for a reason, to let you know that there is potential danger along the way. Life is full of signs and signals. Rock slides, avalanche slides, bridge ices before road, deer crossing area. Life is full of signs and signals. I would dare say how many of us who have driven a while can drive from point A to point B that we drive all the time and not see most of the signs along the way. Why? Because we know what they say. They don't apply to us at the moment. We've driven that way 101 times. And so we're used to it and we're going on our merry way to do what we're supposed to do. That's because we become accustomed to the warning signs and signals along the way. Life is full of signs and signals. Turn off your cell phone. Online order parking. Some of these are relatively new to us, aren't they? Come here, order online. This is where you park when you pick up your order. We have contactless entry. We have all kinds of things. We have new signs to pay attention to. Why? In essence, some of them are to keep us safe. Some of them are to keep us from imminent danger. Some of them are to keep other people from danger. But life is full of signs and signals. Railroad crossing signs. Railroad signals. Very few railroads will you cross that are completely unmarked anymore. Most of them, at a minimum, have the X that, the X that says railroad crossing. Many of them, if not all, the majority of them have the X plus the little gates that come down about 60 seconds before the train comes through the intersection of the road and railroad. Life is full of signs and signals. warning signs and labels on products that you buy, on products that you may sell. You sell a particular product, you may have to warn somebody that this is in this product and this is what it can do. Life is full of signs and signals. My friend, we would do good to pay attention to the signs and the signals that are given to us. Tornado sirens. How many knows that familiar wail of the tornado? In Northeast Ohio, you're more apt to hear them. You can hear them any time of the year now. But most of the time when a tornado came through, it was usually the springtime. The way the weather patterns changed, you never know when you're going to have a tornado. I think Alabama just had a very deadly tornado the other day down south. But I can remember one time when my wife was visiting, I believe, her grandfather and relatives in southwestern Ohio, and I was at home by myself, and we lived in West Salem, and it was about dinner time, and I had made myself a nice dinner. I was at home all by myself, and all of a sudden, the wail of the tornado siren went off. I didn't look at that and say, oh, it's just another tornado siren. I heard the siren, I observed the signs, I observed the inclement weather, and as good or bad as our basement was at the time, it sure beat the option of staying upstairs and eating dinner in the living room. So I went downstairs, dinner didn't taste any worse for going downstairs, I'll tell you that. Went downstairs, I hunkered down in that wet old West Salem basement with sandstone walls. Why? Because the warning sign went off that said, you are in imminent danger. You need to take cover. And sure enough, it was probably a mile or two south of us. Tornado ripped down Rough Road and on through and across Congress Road. And I drove down Congress Road the next day. The Isaac Walton League Forest had hit. And I can still see those pine trees look like toothpicks snapped off and sense the eerie stillness after that storm and the devastation that it caused and the smell of the pine in the air. It's just all very vivid in my mind. But what kept people safe was, number one, they heard the warning, and number two, they heeded the warning, my friend. Life is full of signs and signals. Weather alerts. If you have a smartphone and you have a weather app, you can get weather alerts on everything. You can get weather alerts when it rains, when it's foggy, when it's freezing rain. I mean, every ideal or unideal situation for weather, you can get an alert. Life is full of signs and signals. How many people remember listening to the radio? How many people remember what a radio is in this place? Amen. All right, I got some of you. I personally am still a fan, although I don't listen to it much anymore, AM radio. I'm sorry, you can have the internet, you can have your smartphone. There's nothing as cool as AM radio. Just the way it is. You can tell when I grew up. But how many people remember listening to the radio or watching a television program, and all of a sudden you hear, beep. Silence. This is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. If it were an actual emergency, blah, 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 information would follow up and you would be shown what to do. Why in the world do they give that annoying, and I won't do it again, signal? Is to get your attention. Why? Because they are training you that when you hear that sound, it could potentially, if they don't say this is a test, you better listen up. Well, I tell you what, I've come into this place today to tell somebody, you have been warned time and time and time again. And folks, this is not a test. When Jesus said he's going to come back, he's going to come back. When he said his feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives, his feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives. When Jesus said, Paul said, every one of us are going to give an account of themselves to God of things done in the body, both good and bad. You can mark it down. We're going to stand before God and we're going to explain our lives to him, my friend. This is not a test. This is the real thing. And the Lord has come into this place today and he said, warning, warning, warning. I've been talking to you. I have talked to you over and over and over again. Warning. Pay heed to what I'm telling you. Pay heed to the attention. Give attention to what I'm saying. To warn is to give notice beforehand, especially of danger or evil. I went hiking a few weeks ago, and Ethan, do you have those pictures? Can you put those pictures up there? You don't have them? Okay. It's okay. I went hiking a few weeks ago, and I hadn't been hiking for a while. You know, the whole, right? Our life has been turned upside down for a while, and the whole COVID thing's messing with us. So I was working from home and hadn't been out hiking and exercising like I typically had. And I was able to get out a few weeks ago and go to one of my favorite spots that I like to hike and pray and talk to God and just take my time and commune with the Lord and just be in nature and chase eagles and all that kind of good stuff. And I had heard at the Clear Fork Gorge in Mohican State Park, some of you may know where it is. It's outside of Loudonville. Beautiful area. The gorge itself is about 1,000 feet wide, 300 feet deep. Beautiful overlooks. Typically, you can look down the gorge and see an eagle or two soaring. And that's just my kind of thing. Well, I had heard someone talking about a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, that there used to be a trail, and you can look and see that there used to be a trail there, but it was closed off for many years. And I heard that they were going to restore that trail and put the trail back in. I got pretty excited because, you know, you're up here and you can walk all the way down there. And obviously it's not a straight walk because if you walk straight down, you're going to, you know, tumble down and have a hard stop at the end. So I get there and I thought, I'm going to hike this trail. And again, thank you. It had not, I hadn't hiked for a while. And it's not like I'm an Olympic athlete to begin with, right? I mean, you can tell that, folks. But typically, when I hike regularly, I can do all right for a guy my age and my condition. I do all right, you know, all right. It had been a while since I hiked. And, you know, I don't have sense enough to start off slow. I want to do this trail, so I'm going to do this trail because I want to do it. And I didn't ignore the danger signs. That's not what I'm saying. But all I'm saying, it was rough. And I come up to the sign and it says Gorge Overlook Trail, 2 point, they must have miscalculated, 2 point whatever mile loop. So either way, you can go down from the one side and back up around, you can go down from the other. Now, after I've done it once, I figured out which side I'm going down first, and I'll show you here in a minute. It was happened to be the one I came up after I had hiked almost 2 miles. So it says, caution, this trail is steep and challenging and should not be attempted by those with physical limitations. Proper hiking shoes required. Stay on marked trail. Follow white blazes. Danger. Hazardous. Well, that's my hiking stick there, but it says cliff behind it. My point in putting that up there, folks, there's a reason why they put that up there. They didn't put that up there because they had extra money and they needed to allocate it to something, so they put a sign up so they could spend the money that was allocated to them. When I got to hiking on this trail, I thought, holy cow, now I've hiked a lot of trails. Now I've hiked a lot of places, not like the Appalachian Trail. That's not what I'm talking about. But around here, I mean, I've hiked some pretty good trails. I got out on this trail and I'm thinking to myself, of all the days I picked to hike this trail, it was a wet day. And when the trail is maybe 8 to 12 inches wide in some spots and you've got a 150-foot drop, maybe at a 35-degree angle, not something you're going to go running over. But I thought, I'm going to do this anyway. I've come this far. I'm not, why turn around? I'm going to have to walk the distance I've already walked to begin with. I may as well keep going. So I keep going and going and going and going and going. Put the next picture up, please. And then I come to this. Folks, that's not flat ground. Okay? This angle is exactly what it was. I'm down here, and again, this is almost to the end of the trail. So you can guess which side I'm going to take next time going down. I'm taking this side going down. But I'm at the bottom of this trail, and this one just precious, sweet young couple come walking down, and I forget which one of them asked me, said, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, this is the middle-aged guy sitting here, you know, like he's going to have a heart attack, you know. But, you know, by now in life, I realized there's no sense of being proud. I said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, I'm just taking, because I had mud on my pants, you know. And the reason why I had mud on my pants is because I'm like, oh, my word. Because I'm down here like on a little plateau, and I got to get up here. And I'll be honest with you, it was intimidating. Because it does. It goes straight up just like that. And so I threw my hiking stick up there because I thought I didn't want to hold my hiking stick and then have to climb up that ladder with both hands. So I threw it up there. And guess what happened? My hiking stick comes tumbling back down. And then I thought, okay, holy cow, it's 8 feet behind me now, so now I got to go back down this way. By that time, I mean, I wasn't scared, but I was so tired. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, was I concerned? Yeah, I didn't want to fall. So anyway, so I just, what I did is I waited long enough. I let them get by me out of earshot, okay, out of eye shot, so they wouldn't see this old me, you know, getting my stick, crawling on my hands and knees. Because literally, you have to crawl up that. I mean, you're not going to walk up that ladder because it literally is like laying down on that hill. And I made it to the top, and then I rested at the top, and then I finished my journey. But would you flip back to the first pictures, please? First picture? That second picture is exactly why this says what it says. This sign meant what it says, okay? Because there was danger ahead. Now, next time, like I said, number one, it's going to be dry when I hike that trail. And number two, I'm going to go down the ladder side. So when I come back up the other side, I'm just going up a nice cutback, you know, nice along the hill. But the bottom line is the sign meant what it said, folks. And I've come to tell somebody today, the Bible means what it says. When the Lord says thus and so in his word, it means what it says. But you know, in spite of obvious risk and danger, warnings and often repeated warnings, there is too often that one person who somehow thrills at the ideas of pushing the boundaries. I hike in another park, not quite as steep as that trail, but there are some pretty good trails in there. Worcester Memorial Park. I was on one yesterday. Trail's about this wide in some areas. And if you tumble, you're at a minimum 40 or 50 feet at maybe a 35, 45 degree angle down the hill. Now that's survivable, okay? But at the same time, who wants to get tore up by, you know, saplings on the way down and get your eye gouged out or something like that? Nobody. But invariably, when I go over there, even though there are signs that said stay on marked trails, there's that one person or that two people that have to get off the trail and walk down a different part. So in spite of that, in spite of repeated warnings, in spite of signs, there's that one person or those persons who thrill at the idea of pushing the boundaries. Now that's okay if you're looking for a cure for some incurable disease. That's okay if you're trying to develop a software that's just going to revolutionize the computer world. That's fine. Push the boundaries. But too many people, when it comes to their own personal safety, and too many people, tragically even more than that, when it comes to their salvation and their spiritual state with God, like to push the boundaries. They test and they prod just to see how far they can go without going too far. Well, here's a hint for you. God loves you so much. If you want to test and you want to prod and you want to see how far you can go, God will let you go. He'll put roadblocks in your way. He'll put obstacles in your way to try to get you to turn around, but he's not going to hog tie anybody. And my friend, but the unfortunate thing of that is when we've had our way and we've had our thrill and we understand, yeah, man, I got by. No, you're not getting by with anything. The son who wanted to leave the father's house, the father let him leave. And he let him enjoy himself. He enjoyed himself. Yeah, he had a good time. He had a good time wasting his father's inheritance. He had a good time with the women. There's good times in sin, but it's only for a season, the Bible says. There will come a day when the famine comes, my friend, and the Holy Ghost is trying to tell somebody, if you're not there yet, friend, your spiritual famine's coming pretty soon, and God is putting another warning sign up to you to try and get you to turn around. Why? Because God loves you. He doesn't want you in the pig pen. He doesn't want you eating carob pods. You know, the husks, the Bible says, that they fed the swine. Read that. It was carob pods. It was a seed. It was a pod, seeds of a pod that tasted somewhat like chocolate. Some people might say, well, that's not so bad. That's the only thing you had to eat, and they ate it during times of famine, friend. Do a study on it. He was eating food that was offered to swine so often because of our ignoring the warning signs and our ignoring the pleas of the Spirit, our ignoring the preacher, our ignoring our whoever it may be in our life. God is using to try and reach us, to try and help us. We go our own way and we find ourselves in the pig pen. That's why God is saying, friend, don't play with my word. Don't play with my warnings. Don't play with my signs. Don't push these boundaries, friend, because if you do, you're going to find yourself in a place where you don't want to be. The risk is worth their perceived reward. This is why ever so often we hear of the dramatic rescue of someone who ignored the danger signs. I'm not talking about people who have accidents. Accidents happen all the time. You can do everything right in the world sometimes and still have an accident. You can follow all the signs. You can do everything right. It's probably happened to all of us, and it probably will happen to all of us at one time or another. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these people who see the signs, and that doesn't apply to me, or I can get back by with it, or, oh, that doesn't really mean what it says. Will you put that sign back up from the park? Danger Cliff. That really doesn't mean what it says. Please keep that up there. I want that emblazed in our mind. No bicycles, no horses, hiking only, and this here, possible you can fall. You got a cliff here. You got rubble. It's dangerous. You get off the path and you can lose your footing. Danger, hazardous, cliff. Well, that doesn't mean what it says. They don't know what they're talking about. Oh, how about this one? I'll be all right. I know what I'm doing. I've got by with it before. Please keep that up there. When you go to bed tonight, I want you to see this. When you sleep tonight, I want you to dream this. When you get up in the morning, I want you to see this sign. Why? Because, friend, I want it to be a symbol in our minds. You know, these people didn't put this sign up for the fun of it. These people put this sign. This is put up by a trail club. You know, these trails are maintained by clubs, by people who volunteer their time. You know why they volunteer their time? Not just because they're tree huggers, not just because they want to save the world, but because they care about people. They care about people who are using the trail, people who are going to come and hike that park and use that trail. They want them to come safe, and they want them to go home safe to their families or their friends or their loved ones or whoever it is. Friend, there are a lot of people in this place that care about you. There are a lot of people that care about your soul. We want you to come in here okay, and we want you to leave okay. We want you to get to heaven, my friend. But so many times, we play with the warning signs. We ignore the warning signs. The snooze button goes off, and we hit the snooze button. It says it's time to get up. It's time to get up. Why do they sound like that? They're meant to get your attention. They're meant to annoy you. Friends, sometimes the word of God annoys us. It annoys us because why? It's talking to our spirit and it's grating our flesh. And there's a war going on in the side of us, and our flesh is lusting against the spirit. It's warring against the spirit of God, and the spirit of God is warring against our flesh through the word of God. And we have an opportunity. We have an option. We can either shut that alarm off, get up and do something about what God is talking to us about, or we can just hit the snooze button. Go back to sleep. Hit the snooze button. Go back to sleep. Somebody's been hitting the snooze button and going back to sleep spiritually, and God's saying, you need to wake up, friend. You need to wake up. My sign means what it says. My word means what it says. It means what it says. Quit playing games with God. Quit ignoring the signs. Quit justifying what you're doing. Quit justifying yourself. It's time to wake up. Sometimes this is why people ignoring the signs, oh, I'll be okay, it doesn't apply to me, no, it's not that bad. Perhaps it's also why there's the tragic ending sometimes of someone who had to, and this is what's sad to me, to get that selfie. I'm going to be careful here. Get that selfie. It's a beautiful view. You can't dispute that. Who wouldn't want their picture taken by whatever they're taking it by? But friend, where's your common sense? There's the edge. There's a 1,000-foot drop. And you're getting a selfie. Oh, I'll be okay. And your foot slips. Nobody pushed you. A bear didn't charge you. You just hit some loose gravel. And down you go. Somebody's been playing too close to the edge, my friend. Your feet are on slippery ground. I've told my boys all their life, Dad, why this and why that? I say, sons, it's all about the principle. How close do you want to play to the road? That's why when they were little, you don't go to the sidewalk. The sidewalk's 15 feet off the road, but that's too close to the road. Why? Because you don't have the discernment enough to stay out of the road, or you may not see the car coming down the road that's up the street that's going to be zipping around the corner. And if you're at the corner and they run off the road, which they have in my house, and they hit you, you're dead. So how close close do you have to play to danger for it to convince you that you need to quit playing with the danger? Let me ask this. How bad do you have to be hurt before you realize you need to back up? That's why I don't understand people who fuss with the, some people call them standards. I like to call them fences. You know, certain things we do or don't do as apostolic Christians has nothing to do with being saved. Has nothing to do with my salvation. Jesus Christ saves me as I obediently submit to His will. I obey the gospel. He saves me. But these fences, or you can call them standards if you want, they're all about keeping my flesh in subjection. That's a very scriptural thing. And I'm not going to get off on that. But again, how close do you want to play? Or the unfortunate car full of people who thought it was cool how fast they were going. And nobody would speak up because the driver had it at 110 or 120 miles an hour and they were all rocking and rolling down the road. And the people in the back didn't want to speak up because they didn't want to be perceived as being the square or being uncool. They run off the road. They tumble down a cliff or they roll it three or four times and now you've got grieving loved ones and they make the headlines. Pushing the limits. Man, I'm telling you, God's talking to somebody today. You need to stop pushing the limits. You need to stop pushing the limits. The person that thought they could beat the train. These are real life scenarios, people. I've read the headlines and so have you. They thought the train wasn't as close as it was, but the signal gate was down, people. Folks, the signal gate's down for some of you. The lights are dinging. The train whistle's blowing. You need to pay attention to what Jesus is talking to you about. I'm telling you. The tragedy is that in all too many instances, this is what I'm talking about here. Again, I'm not talking about people who have accidents, make mistakes, things in life happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these people who ignore the signs, who ignore the warnings. In all too many of these instances, the outcome could have been avoided. That is the tragedy. That's the tragedy. The question is often asked, well, what's wrong with it? How about as opposed to asking, Pastor, what's wrong with it? Where in the Bible does it say not to do thus and so? Why don't we flip that around instead of saying, what's wrong with it? How about we say, what's right with it? I'm supposed to love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. Does it help me to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Does it line up with the precepts and the principles and the commands and the concepts of the Word of God? And does it allow me to love my brother and sister as I love myself? How about, I don't see anything wrong with it. Friend, there's a lot in the Word of God we may not see anything wrong with, but the Word of God says don't do it. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't really matter if I don't see it right away. Okay? The matter is, the Word of God says, I have to obey. Why? Because God knows what's best for me. Do you think Eve knew before she ate of the fruit? Adam knew before he ate of the fruit? Why exactly God said, don't eat of the fruit? Do you think they? No, they didn't. All they knew is God said, don't do it. But guess what? They had to push. And they had to push the boundaries. To where they started, she started entertaining Satan. And he started talking to her. And she was so, her word of God was so convoluted in her mind. At the time. Was that because Adam didn't get the point across? I don't know. But where in the world was Adam when all that was going on? Because the Bible says she took it and she ate it and she gave to him. Was he standing right beside her? Oh my word, I hope not. Did she have to go find him to give it to him? I don't know. I personally believe the scripture intimates he was pretty much in close proximity. I could be wrong. But the bottom line is, the Word of God was convoluted in her heart to the point that when Satan began to take the Word of God and twist it and lie, she bought into it, and she ate, and then it all happened. Why? Because she had to push the boundary. Hath God said, Satan said, hath he really said? Too often, it then becomes, I can handle it. I can handle it. Then it becomes, I didn't mean to. No, you might not have meant to, but you were warned. There's an old song that used to sing, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And sin will cost you far more than you wanted to pay. Oh, how about this? I can stop anytime. Well, then why haven't you? Why haven't we? Why haven't I? Whatever it may be. Whatever God may be dealing, why haven't you? I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not angry with anybody. But I can tell you what. If I was tumbling down that cliff, or I was getting ready to fall over that cliff, I doubt that someone would come to me and say, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Do you realize you're getting ready to fall down the 300-foot gorge? No, I'd probably be like, hey, back up. Holy Ghost, come tell somebody to back up. Then it goes from I can stop into any time to, well, I'm not a, you fill in the blank. Then comes denial. Sometimes it is the statement, it will never happen to me. I would never do that. No, we may not intend to. But if we ignore the signals long enough, we ignore the signs long enough, we might end up doing some things we never thought we would do. We might end up hanging out with some people we never thought we'd hang out with. We might end up becoming something we never envisioned we would become. Why? Because Satan is not happy to get you to sin. He's not happy to get me to sin. He has not just come to steal, but he has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Yet despite warning upon warning, they're willing to take the chance. Oh my word, everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God, but it grieves me to watch people and have watched people over the years who have been warned over and over and over and over and over and over again continue in their headlong path of destruction. Making the decisions that they know that are wrong, that they know bother their elders, that they know bother their parents, that they know bother their brothers and sisters, and it only bothers them because they know that if they keep making those decisions, where they're going to end up, and to watch those people with glee in their eyes do it anyway. Why? Because you can't stop me. You're right, we can't. You can't stop me. God can't stop us. He can, but he won't. Why? Because we are free moral agents. We have a free will. But he will send warning after warning after warning after warning with roadblocks and obstacles to try to get us to turn around. Ignore warnings long enough, and guess what? You'll eventually not notice it. Ignore warnings long enough, and you'll eventually not even notice them. Your cell phone has all kinds of alerts and notices. You can customize them. You can turn them up. You can turn them down. You can put them on vibrate, and you can even silence them. That's why sometimes I will change the vibrating mechanism on my texts and my calls sometimes every once in a while. Why? Because I know that I'll get used to that feeling, that vibration, and I'll ignore it. So when instead of going bzz, a text may go bzz, bzz, I'm like, oh, okay, I got a text. Bzz, 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 for call, bzz, bzz, change it to that. And even at that, still sometimes, when I can't have my phone up, if it's on vibrate, I pick it out and I'm like, oh, my wife called. When did she call? Oh, she called 5 minutes ago. I didn't even feel it. Folks, somebody, God's been calling you and you haven't felt it. You've gotten too used to the warning signs. You've gotten too used to pushing the boundaries. But God is coming one more time to you today, saying you need to turn up the volume. You need to turn up and tune in. Our lives are full of warnings. My friend, the word of the Lord gives us warning. It warns us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It warns us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It warns us to repent, to change our mind, to turn around and believe the gospel. It warns us to repent and to be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It warns us to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. It warns us to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. It warns us to not to allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies, that we should obey its desires. It warns us to flee youthful lust. Why? Doesn't God want me to have any fun? I'm telling you what. I have walked into psych wards, my friend, where everybody from teenagers to older people have lost their mind because of drug abuse and alcohol. And I haven't seen too many of them saying, man, this is the trip of my life. Usually they're crying and they're sitting in shame, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but I'm just trying to be real today, my friend. All that glitters isn't gold. All that Satan offers you isn't fun. It isn't pretty. It doesn't end well, my friend. I tell you what, when you take that first drink, you never think you're going to end up an alcoholic. When you toke that first joint, you never think that you're going to end up shooting up heroin, because one thing leads to another. When you take that first look, my friend, you never think that you're going to destroy your family. But I'm telling you what, Satan will not show you the whole picture. He will show you what pleases your flesh. Why the Bible says flee youthful lusts. I want to tell you something. To me, there's nothing more fun than going to bed with a good conscience and getting up with a good conscience. You might not please your flesh all the time, but I tell you what, when you can get up and you can make that cup of coffee and you can sit down and you can turn on the Word of God, even if you may be groggy and sleepy and you don't want to listen to it right now, but you know you need the Word of God, but you, so you do it anyway. It warns us to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. In so doing, you'll save yourself and those that hear you. It tells you to watch and be sober. It warns us to watch and be sober, to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate. It tells us, it warns us to be ready for an hour that we think not the Son of Man comes. As we stand in the house of the Lord today, I want to read from you Romans chapter 14 and verse 7 in the English Standard Version. Please keep this up here for a moment. It says, for none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. Well, it's my life. my choice. It's my decision. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right it is, and you're responsible for it. But your life, your choice, and your decision, as well as mine, has an effect on everybody around you. It may be your spouse. It may be your children. It may be your job. It could be your knitting club. I don't know. But friend, there's somebody who cares about you. There's somebody who loves you. There's somebody who's passionate about having a relationship with you in some way, shape, or form. It could be friend. It could be spouse. It could be best friend. So your life matters. My life matters. And our actions matter. None of us live to himself, and none of us die to himself. None of us do anything. Well, it doesn't affect anybody else. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What we're doing, good or bad, may not be known, but it has an effect. Why? Because we're a member of a body. Or we're tied into somebody with a relationship. So when we're affected negatively or positively, it's going to affect somebody else. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, as we prepare to sing, we're going to give you a chance to come and talk to God in just a moment. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're going to give you a chance to come and repent, to raise your hands to heaven, to turn from your sins, and to begin to magnify the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. But if God's been talking to you, he's been warning you, and you know he has, and you've been ignoring him, I plead to you today, don't walk out this place without making a commitment to God. God, I'm going to listen. And then do what you say you're going to do. But the scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, New King James, therefore let him or her who thinks he or she stands take heed lest he fall. It'll never happen to me, brother. Okay. I got it under control, brother. Okay. That message was for somebody else. Okay. We love you. Praying for you. But I hope you change your mind. If that's you today. So I'm telling you what, there came a day in that prodigal son's life. He said, you know what? The servants in my father's house are living better than I am. I'm the son of the king, and I'm living in a pig pen. God's calling, so I can tell it right now. God's calling somebody out of the pig pen. Don't be ashamed. We were all there. We were all there. Some of us were there and went back and came back. But we were all there. I know I've issued a strong warning today. But friend, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. But I firmly believe in my heart that God sent this word for somebody today because God has been talking to you. And you've been ignoring him. It's been fun to push the limits. Well, folks, everything has a limit. And eventually it breaks. God doesn't want you to break, my friend. God doesn't want your life broken. So without any further comment, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to open this altar for you to come and pray and talk to God. Nobody's going to be looking around at you. Somebody might ask you if you want to pray, if you want them to pray with you. That's fine. If you don't, say, I'd just like to talk to God myself. No problems. But I want to tell you one thing. If God's talking to your heart, please come and talk to him. See, because this altar is a place of death. It's a place where we die to ourselves. We make commitments to God. But I'm going to open it right now. I want you to come. If God's talking to you, if God's been warning you, if God's been talking to your spirit, they're going to sing, and we're going to worship, and we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Warning.